We wanted to understand how God created the world at the beginning, because this is the exact way how God creates also His people, in order that they become light. Now the same light, the same power that made the physical light at the beginning will also make light for God's people. It's the same power, it's the same process. So what we need is an actual experience in creation in order to catch the first rays of His coming. Let us turn now to a few scriptures that make this point clear. That is the text in 1 Peter 1. Verse 23 and following. Let's begin verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obedience, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of men as the flower of the grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Now the question is, how are we born again? And here we find a very clear description of how this happens. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through what? Through the word of God, which abides and lives forever. Now, what is the exact process of creation? We have studied this in our last session. He speaks and it is done. So God speaks, and in His word is the power that actually creates light. For example, in His word is the power that creates also a Christian who is not a Christian before. And so Paul also talks of a new creation in connection with the rebirth. Let's read about this. Where was this again? 2 Corinthians 4. Are we in Christ? We are a new creation. The old things are past. 5:17. Okay. I thought it was chapter 4. Thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation. He has been created, in other words. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And another aspect, apart from the Word of God, is the fact that over the world the Spirit of God was hovering. Let's turn again to Genesis chapter 1 and again read the first verses. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. So God spoke, and it was done. Now when God said, let there be light, and there was light, He did it after the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now what this means, we want to just read now from the sermon that A.D. Jones gave. When was this again? Just let me have a look. In 1901 on the General Conference. This is a sermon you find in the appendix of the book The Seven Angels. And from this book I read now on page 332. Again to the first of Genesis. And the Spirit of the Lord brooded upon the face of the waters. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the light was the life. Sorry. Sorry, that is not that. It's on page 330. Next, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now we were all darkness, but God creates us new, and our lives, until God does create us new, are less than nothing, worse than nothing. Yet, when God creates us new, as for any life of righteousness, any life of godliness, what is the situation? Isn't it formless and void? When God takes a man from the world, from the darkness that may be felt, and creates him new, all that is before him is new. So I say, as to that new life which the man is to find, and which is to be found in man, what is his condition as relates to it except formless and void? But behold the next thing. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So Jones makes the point here that before we are created, we are less than nothing. Of course, we are something materially seen, but spiritually speaking, we are nothing. Less than, or worse than nothing, because there's the old nature. Now that word, moved, means brooded. It is the same thought exactly as Jesus spoke to the people of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her brood under her wings. I would have gathered you, I would have brooded over you, I would have sheltered you and brought you from this brooding, that newborn thing, to the glory of God. And ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. The thought that Jesus expressed in these words about Jerusalem is precisely the thought that he spoke in the second verse of Genesis. The Spirit of God brooded upon that created thing, which until the Spirit of God came upon it, was without form and void. But when the Spirit of God came and brooded over it, organization began. Then began God's course of organizing. Now, in other words, the Holy Spirit had much to do with it too. So, God spoke and it was done under the brooding of the Holy Spirit. And so likewise, today, God speaks and it is done under the brooding of the Holy Spirit. And so, we are created new creatures. So, we are delivered from sickness, from sin, and so the people of God were delivered from the Egyptian bondage, you say, right? Exactly in the same way. Now let us understand this very well. It is not so easy understood at the beginning, but once we have grasped it, it's quite easy. First of all, let us see that God purposely created the world as he did, in order to make an object lesson very clear. And the object lesson is that God does everything by creation. That's another statement from this sermon of Jones, which I don't find at the moment. Maybe you can remember. Everything that God does, he does by creation. In fact, we don't need to turn to the sermon of Jones. We can turn to John 1 and read the first verses to make it very clear that everything that God does, he does by creation. John chapter 1 verse 1 and following. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Sorry, I'm a little bit wrong. I'm here in 1 John. I meant the Gospel of John. I was wondering when is the text coming I was looking for. The Gospel of John, of course. Chapter 1 and the first verses. In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Here we have the same truth again, that the Sun of Righteousness rises with healing in its wings. But now let us see very clearly that everything that was made through the Word. In other words, God spoke and it was done. Everything. There's nothing that we can find today which was not made through the Word. So if there's a child, how was it made? Through the Word. Word. Because everything that is made. If you see a tree, how was it made? Through the Word. But does a worldling see this? What would a worldling tell you if you asked him, how does a child come about? How does a tree come about? Well, he would say a child comes about through the normal laws of life, doesn't he? When a seed is implanted and the seed grows. How does a tree come about? Well, you implant a seed and then you have a tree. But is this so? Now the point is that God created the world not in that fashion that He implanted a seed at the beginning. He could have done so. He could have created, for example, an avocado seed or a mango seed and implanted it into the soil. And then creation would have taken not 6 days, but several years. I don't know how long it takes until you have a full-grown mango tree, but as long as it takes, so long creation would have taken, wouldn't it? And if God had done this, then we would look on creation as nothing special, would we? We would not really understand the process of creation. Because the process of creation is that through God's Word speaking, something is done. Now, if God had chosen to create the world like this by implanting, for example, example, an avocado seed or a mango seed, He still would have made it by creation. Because everything that we see is done by creation, according to John 1, isn't it? Everything that was made is made through the Word, by God speaking. Now that this is so, that God is constantly employed to create, is also made clear in a wonderful statement in the book Ministry of Healing, in the chapter A True Knowledge of God, to which we will turn now. We open for this page 416 in the book Ministry of Healing. There it says, God is constantly employed in upholding and using as His servants the things that He has made. He works through the laws of nature, using them as His instruments. They are not self-acting. Nature in her work testifies of the intelligent presence and active agency of a being who moves in all things according to His will. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to Thy ordinances. For all are Thy servants. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. He commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them for ever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. It is not by inherent power that year by year the earth yields its bounties and continues its march around the sun. So its bounties, for example, are avocado trees and mango trees that are bounties, aren't they? I'm not sure always about the meaning of words, but they are definitely for the good of men. So it is not by inherent power that the earth yields its bounties. Not by inherent power. So the earth has not the power. The seed has not the power. Nothing has power to grow. Where does the power come from? Always from God. And constantly. And it comes through his word. It is the power of creation which makes a mango tree, which makes an avocado tree, even if you plant it. It's the same process still as when he spoke and it was done. The same process as though he would say, now let there be an avocado tree and there would be a full avocado tree. The same process precisely. Now that we understand this process clearly, more clearly, that is the reason why God created heaven and earth as he did create it. In the way that he did not implant a seed, but said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be all the green plants and so forth, and there were all the green plants. Let's read a little bit further. It is not by inherent power that year by year the earth yields its bounties and continues its march around the sun. The hand of the Infinite One is perpetually at work guiding this planet. It is God's power continually exercised, that keeps the earth in position in its rotation. It is God who causes the sun to rise in the heavens. He opens the windows of heaven and gives rain. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens. And he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain and bringeth forth the winds out of his treasures. It is by his power that vegetation is caused to flourish, that every leaf appears, every flower blooms, every fruit develops. Let's come back to the beginning of the statement that we read on page 416. God is constantly employed. Now, what does the word constantly mean?
Always.
Always, without interruption. Yeah. Let's suppose God would say, well, I'm tired now, I will go to sleep. What would happen? In that moment, we would stop to exist. In that very moment, he would stop to employ his activity. We must realize this. In that moment, we would absolutely stop to exist. In other words, there's no inherent power, either in us, or in the earth, or anywhere, that could exist itself. It is God's power continually exercised, that we live, that we breathe, that our pulse beats, that the trees grow, that the sun rises, and so forth. Quite remarkable when we think about this. God is constantly employed in upholding and using as his servants the things he has made. Now, we are accustomed to understand that things happen according to law. For example, if you plant a seed at the right time, in the right climate, in the right season, and so forth, in the right soil, then you know a tree will come. And because everything happens so reliably, we tend to think they happen by themselves. But let us ask the question for a moment, why things happen so reliably? Exactly, because God is so reliable. He is working so reliable that you can formulate laws. Now let's read the next sentence, which says he works through the laws of nature, using them as his instruments. So what are the laws of nature? They are just but instruments in the hand of God. He could do with these laws as he pleased, but he pleases to be very consistent, and this is for our blessing, for our great blessing. They are not self-acting. Nature in her work testifies to the intelligent presence and active agency of a being who moves in all things according to his will. So creation is not only the beginning of the things in the first 6 days of this world's history. Creation has continued since that time unto our time and has never stopped. That is the truth concerning that what we read here, isn't it? In fact, if creation would stop one moment, we would stop too. Stop to exist. Another verse which really testifies this wonderful truth, which we will read before we read on here the statement in Minister of Feeling, is found in Hebrews chapter 1. And let's turn here to the first verses. I begin in verse 1, where it says, God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he has made the worlds. Now again here it speaks of creation. It speaks of the fact that God has, through his Son, made the worlds. And his Son is the Word, isn't it? He is the Word. So let's read verse 3. Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now what does Christ do since he sat down on the right hand of the majesty of high after he purchased our sins? After that, what does he do now? And upholding all things by the word of his power. How does Jesus uphold all things sitting at the right hand of the Father? By the word of his power. What kind of process is this? He spoke and it was done. So it is the process of creation. And it is the creative power of God which upholds all things. Now let us read further in the statement in Ministry of Healings, page 416, 417. It is by his power that vegetation is caused to flourish, that every leaf appears, every flower blooms, every fruit develops. And now it talks of the human body, and I like the statement. It's wonderful and talks really of the constant creation process. The mechanism of the human body cannot be fully understood. It presents mysteries that baffle the most intelligent. It is not as the result of a mechanism which, once set in motion, continues its work, that the pulse beats and breath follows breath. In God we live and move and have our being. The beating heart, the throbbing pulse, every nerve and muscle in the living organism is kept in order and activity by the power of an ever-present God. What a wonderful truth is this. Now that explains us that we are not a mechanism that was wound up like you wound up a watch and then you put it in the corner and it runs off by itself. That is the idea some people have of creation. They think, well, in fact, maybe we have all thought like this a little bit. We think, or we tended to think, that God in the beginning, he created something. He gave a lot of power into all the creation. Of course, this power can even be measured, can't it? According to Einstein's theory, have you heard about this? That mass equals energy times, I don't know this English term now, times light speed in square. Anyway, there's a tremendous energy in nature, that's what we tended to think. And this energy that we have there is now running off by itself. That is the kind of idea that we had, isn't it? God put tremendous energy and now the clock is running. And at one time it will be run off. Maybe then there's a new creation necessary. That would be the logic in the thing. But now it's not like this. It is not so that God once gave power and now he leaves it by himself. It is God's power continually exercised, that we live and move and have our being. Now each breath that we take, think of this, each breath is done only because God is active, because God is supplying us with the very power to take the breath. We would not have power to take any breath. Now why is our heart beating? Does it beat by itself? Again, no. But because God is constantly exercising his power so that our heart can beat. Now that means that God must be constantly present in order to keep us up. Can you see this? He must be constantly present. As it also says here, the beating heart, the throbbing pulse, every nerve and muscle in the living organism is kept in order and activity by the power of an ever-present God. That thought of an ever-present God is very inspiring, and it inspired one to write this psalm. Let's open Psalms 139 for a moment. And read from verse 1 and onwards. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me, indeed the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you have formed my inward part, you have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, the writer of the psalm, he understood something of the presence of God, didn't he? You have hedged me in from all sides. And the knowledge of the presence of God is one of the greatest shields from temptation. This we read on page 255 in the book Education. As a shield from temptation and an inspiration to purity and truth, no other influence can equal the sense of God's presence. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. He is of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. This thought was Joseph's shield amid the corruptions of Egypt. To the allurements of temptation his answer was steadfast. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Such a shield faith, if cherished, will bring to every soul. So we must awaken to the fact that we are constantly upheld by creation. In fact, even Satan is upheld moment by moment. When it says in Desire of Ages that God could have destroyed Satan so easy as you can cast down a pebble from the let go a pebble to the earth, I understand this much better now. Now, you don't need much effort to cast a pebble to the earth. You just need to let go, isn't it? Just let go. And so likewise, God just needed to let go, and that would be absolutely the end of Satan. God does not need to put a spear against Satan to crush out his life, as you find in some pictures of ancient artists who show Michael with a big spear, and there Satan the dragon, and how he crushes in the spear into his breast in order to destroy him. That is not at all necessary for God. He just needs to let go, and that would be the end. Likewise, he could let go on our life forces, and that would be absolutely the end of us. But God does not do it. It's not his character to do it, not his purpose to do it. Therefore, we realize and understand that our being, or how does it say we move and... Yeah, that's right. The English wordings are not so ready in my mind here. In God we live and move and have our being. Exactly. That understanding means that we understand that God is ever present, it will lead us to an appreciation of His power that is keeping us up all the time. It will lead us to an appreciation of His presence also, and a realization of His presence, which is a mighty shield against temptation. And this is what God purposes. Now, you know, sometimes we feel weak and tired and so forth, and yet we may know that God is present to uphold and to strengthen us. And so we can find great comfort in this, even in darkness. There are timid people who fear very much when it gets dark. Now, what is a mighty comfort for them? The fact that God is ever present, that He knows everything. When we come in the midst of the enemy who tries to destroy us, what will give us courage and faith? The knowledge that we depend not on any man's power, not on any inherent power even, but we depend moment by moment on the power of God continually exercised. Okay, that was just a little excursus to show us something of the extent of God's creative work. It is not only at the beginning, but it continues. Now, that has something to say to us also for our Christian life. What does it mean to us, apply to our Christian life, that God is not only creating at the beginning, but that He continues to create? Now, how do we become Christians? Through creation. How long does it take? It's a moment. In other words, in the moment that we accept Christ's power to deliver us from the sin master and receive the Christ seed, we are a new creation. But is this the end of God's creating actions? Not at all. Then creation is continued to deliver us from the sins of the human nature, and also to lift us higher and higher until we become like Jesus in character and His light shines through us. So in other words, how do we come to this state that the glory of the Lord shines through us into the world? Through creation. So we actually must have and must today experience creation in order to be such a people who lighten the way for the bridegroom's coming, on whom the first rays of His light will shine. It happens only through creation. So that again urges upon our minds the great need to understand the process and the means of creation and experience it, doesn't it? It's very essential for us. So let us now continue our search in the way God creates. Again, it is very simple and very easy said. God says, and it is done. Now the whole Bible is full of sayings of God, isn't it? And when we read it, what should happen? We should be created to become Christians, and when we are Christians, continually be created until we are created on higher and higher planes. But very often, Christians read the Bible and they have nothing from it, have they? Now, we must understand there's one way of reading the Bible and there's another way of reading the Bible. Now, in order to understand in what way the Bible is to be read, again we turn to a statement in Ministry of Healing. This time, page 122. And there we read this. The same power that Christ exercised when He walked visibly among men is in His word. It was by His word that Jesus healed disease and cast out demons. By His word He stilled the sea and raised the dead. And the people bore witness that His word was with power. He spoke the word of God as He had spoken to all the prophets and teachers of the Old Testament. The whole Bible is a manifestation of Christ. The scriptures are to be received as God's word to us, not written merely, but spoken. When the afflicted ones came to Christ, He beheld not only those who asked for help, but all who through the ages should come to Him in like need end with like faith. When he said to the paralytic, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. When he said to the woman of Capernaum, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith has made thee whole, go in peace. He spoke to other afflicted, sin-burdened ones who should seek his help. So with all the promises of God's word, in them he is speaking to us individually, speaking as directly as if we could listen to his voice. It is in these promises that Christ communicates to us his grace and power. They are leaves from the tree which is for the healing of the nations. Received, assimilated, they are to be the strength of the character, the inspiration and sustenance of the life. Nothing else can have such healing power. Nothing besides can impart the courage and faith which give vital energy to the whole being. Now that statement now was a statement about creation. It talked of the word of God, didn't it? And about a result when this word is spoken. And the result is healing in this instance here. Let us turn again to the beginning of the statement where it says, the same power that Christ exercised when he walked visibly among men is in his word. Now how often did we wish in the past that Christ would be amongst us, didn't we? We thought in ourselves, if only Christ would be amongst us, then we could have his healing power. He would certainly exercise the same power today as he did back there, and all our ailments and our difficulties we could bring to him and they would be solved. But now it says here, the same power, the same, not a lesser power, inferior power, but the same, that Christ exercised when he walked visibly among men, is in his word. So doesn't it mean that the word is not utilized by God's people today? It's not utilized, is it? If it was utilized, then we would experience the same power that Christ exercised when he was visibly among men. Now, of course, we must understand that the word of God must become our personal experience. If we want to be that people that catch the first rays of the rising suns with healing under his wings, we must experience that what is described in Genesis. In other words, we must be such a Genesis people. We must experience the same power that Christ exercised when he walked visibly among men. We must exercise this power which is in his word. Again, it was by his word that Jesus healed disease and cast out demons. By his word he stilled the sea and raised the dead. And the people bore witness that his word was with power. He spoke the word of God as he had spoken to all the prophets and teachers of the Old Testament. The whole Bible is a manifestation of Christ. Now before we close the study, we want to make one more point, and this is, whenever God speaks, it is done. Whenever God speaks, it is done. Not maybe it's done, or sometimes it's done, or it could be done, but it is done. The words of the Bible are too positive. They say, God spoke and it was done. Now imagine, it would be a chance of 50-50, it is done or not done. He would speak and sometimes it is done and sometimes it's not done. Would the creation ever have happened as it has happened? Maybe on the first day something would have been created, on the second day nothing, on the third day again something would have been created, on the fourth day again nothing, and so forth. But no, every time God spoke it was done. And every time that Jesus said, I will be thou made whole, what happened? The person was made whole, without exception. Was there an exception? No, without exception. Now the disciples, of course, they one time, they said, they tried to do the same with a